Schule, lass mal reden. Der Bildungspodcast für neue Perspektiven. Herzlich willkommen zur neuen Folge Schule, lass mal reden. Und heute geht's um Kanada und meine Impressionen aus dem kanadischen Bildungssystem. Ihr kennt das etwas drastische Zitat von Bert Brecht: Erst kommt das Fressen und dann die Moral. Wenn man das auf Schule übertragen würde, könnte man sagen, erst kommt das Bedürfnis nach psychologischer Sicherheit und angenommen sein und dann fängt Lernen erst an. Oder Calgary Board of Education sagen würde, Maslow over Bloom. Was genau dahinter sich verbirgt, darum geht's hier in dieser Folge bei Schule, lass mal reden. Ich habe zahlreiche Schulen in Kanada, Alberta besucht. Ich war nämlich auf einem Austausch für Lehrkräfte im April 24 und habe dort einen Ed Director, nämlich Aubrey Fletcher, besucht, mit ihrer Familie gelebt und war ihr Schatten bei ihrer Arbeit. Das Erste, was passiert ist, war abends noch am gleichen Tag, als ich angekommen bin. Da gab es ein Hockey-Game im Fernsehen, was die Familie von Aubrey natürlich nicht verpassen durfte. Und bevor das Spiel losging, noch bevor die Nationalhymnen gesungen wurden, erschien auf dem riesigen Bildschirm im Stadion ein Stammesältester in vollem Federschmuck und Ornat und erklärte irgendwas über indigene Stämme. Ich habe es nicht richtig verstanden. Und ich habe auch nicht verstanden, was das bedeutet, denn es war mir nicht klar, ist das eine Ankündigung für einen neuen Fernsehfilm oder was bedeutet das genau? Und Aubrey Fletcher, mein Host, hat mir dann erklärt, das wird dir jetzt ganz oft begegnen. Das wirst du morgen in der Schule sehen. Und das bedeutet, wir erkennen an, dass wir hier, wir kanadischen Einwohnerinnen und Einwohner, dass wir das Land anerkennen und anerkennen, dass die indigenen Stämme vor uns hier waren. Das war mir vollkommen neu, davon hatte ich noch nie gehört und das habe ich tatsächlich in den Schulen wiedergefunden. So hängt an jedem Eingang im Schulamt, in jeder Schule, ein Plakat, auf dem steht, wir möchten anerkennen, dass dies hier die traditionellen Territorien der, und dann werden die Stämme aufgezählt, die da früher gelebt haben, dieser Stämme ist. Wir erkennen an, dass sie eine Tradition der mündlichen Überlieferung haben und dass sie hier zu Hause sind. Aber wie kommt das? Wie kam es zu dieser Praxis? Aubrey Fletcher erklärt mir, dass Kinder aus indigenen Familien seit langer Zeit schlechtere Bildungschancen hatten, dass sie öfter Gewalt erlebt haben, schlechtere Leistungen hatten, aus vulnerablen Familien kamen. Der Hintergrund ist, dass es ein Truth and Reconciliation Committee gab vor ungefähr 10 Jahren. Dieses Komitee wollte daran was ändern. Und das erklärt uns Aubrey hier.
What does acknowledgement stand for and why is it so important for the CBE?
So how we use the word acknowledgement is connected to our Indigenous people. So we were not the first people that lived on this land. Indigenous people or First Nations people were here first, and they were the original caretakers of the land. In early Canada, a lot of the colonizing occurred where people came from Scotland and England and other places, France, etc. And they came and they took the land and created treaties. So promises made with Indigenous groups that were not always made in good faith and were not always in the best interest of Indigenous people. And so for many years, our Indigenous people have been treated poorly by government agencies, access. There's a tremendous amount of trauma involved with those families and the things that they've gone through generation after generation. And so a few years ago, we had a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. So a group led by the Honorable Murray Sinclair, he led an investigation around discovering truths for Indigenous people and coming up with ways for reconciliation or to make it better. So the TRC, or Truth and Reconciliation Commission, came up with calls to action. Calls to action being ways that current Canadians can make up for all the wrongs that they did in the past. So even though it might not have been me or my family necessarily that were the ones to do those things to Indigenous people, it is our collective responsibility as Canadians to make it right, because it happened for a very long time and in some ways is still happening for our Indigenous people. One of the ways that the TRC have come out with a calls to action is acknowledging the land. So at every gathering, at every big meeting, you know, in hockey games, in front of professional sports games, when there's groups of people that gather, parent council meetings, assemblies within schools, whenever there's a group of people gathered, the first thing we do before we sing O Canada, before we start the assembly, before we start the game, is we acknowledge that we are standing on land that doesn't belong to us. So an acknowledgement of the land is a way of honoring the first people that were here and the traditions that they have and the languages that they speak, and saying thank you to them for taking care of this land and for being such a huge part of our Canadian history, and a way of acknowledging that we are in fact visitors to this land. Even if we were born here, we were not the first people here.
I understand that Indigenous families are still often very poor. So how does that help Indigenous people?
So it's interesting because I would say in some cases, intergenerational trauma, so trauma that happened from grandparents to parents, parents to children, definitely does have an effect. And there are lots of our Indigenous families that are not poor. They're not affected necessarily by some of the things that are happening for some of our families, certainly, just like any group. Not all of one group is affected the same way. I think by standing up publicly and thanking people for being caretakers of the land, for making commitments to take care of the land now moving forward as Canadians, it's an honoring of their traditions. It's acknowledging their contributions and acknowledging that they have been mistreated in the past. And so if they hear that again and again, then they know that people mean what they say. And so when you share an acknowledgement of the land, oftentimes in a meeting, someone might make a connection to what they've learned from the land or what they've learned from their work with Indigenous people. So it's a way of building bridges, because those bridges were burned by the way people were treated. And so it is our obligation as educators to build those bridges and to apologize for the things that happened and to move forward in a good way. That's really important.
Wiedergutmachung ist also ein hoher Wert in den kanadischen Provinzen. Aber was ist mit den anderen Kindern? Was ist mit den Kindern aus geflüchteten Familien, mit mehrsprachigen Kindern? Wie hilft das denen? Die Antwort von Ad Director Aubrey Fletcher war darauf: A rising tide lifts all boats. Also, was wir für die einen Kinder tun und an Maßnahmen errichten, an hilfreichen Strukturen, das hilft letztlich allen Kindern. Wenn wir uns besser professionalisieren, dann hilft das allen Kindern in der Schule. Und das ist ein weiterer wichtiger Schwerpunkt, den ich kennengelernt habe in Kanada, dass diese Professionalisierung sehr vom Schulamt geprägt ist. In jedem Schulamt hängt das Leitbild, das für alle Schulen gilt. Und da sind drei Leitsätze besonders wichtig.
So the three values of the Calgary Board of Education are: students come first, learning is our central purpose, and public education serves the common good. So we show up for children, every child, each day, no exceptions. So making sure that our systems and our support structures are there to support any child, any family, regardless of their background, regardless of how they came to us, regardless of their language or their cultural affiliation, their religious association, everybody's welcome.
And that's something I've seen and recognized from being here and visiting a lot of schools. I'm very, very impressed about no child's left behind has become meaningful.
It's funny because No Child Left Behind started out in the United States as legislation. And what it did is it was very divisive and created really difficult situations in the United States, where schools were pitted against one another regarding the results for assessment. But when you look at the actual purpose of schools being around children first, no child should be left behind. There was always room for the child to come and be met by educators and people that work in our support staff that are there to support the family and the student, by extension, of course, the family, regardless of how they come to school. So if they have a special need, a learning consideration, maybe they have a medical diagnosis, maybe they have some behavior issues. Many of our students have trauma. And so it is our job to find the way to the child, not the child's job to find their way to us.
What's important to know dealing with immigrated families?
So in my previous principalships, I have been a principal in two different schools and worked heavily with refugee families. And one of the things that I think is really most crucial is how you welcome them into your building. So we were quite specific about how we did intake and orientation. So how we welcome the family, how we share information about our schools, about maybe the programs that we offer, how children can get to school. Do they qualify for a school bus, those big yellow school buses? What does our lunchroom program look like? What kind of subjects might they be? Might they be, you know, speaking? Because sometimes we have French. Most often the instructional language is English. What kind of supports will they have? And really listening to a family's story and understanding how they came to us. Because in empathy building and understanding that family connection, we're better able to reach across the table and say, your child is safe here. We're so glad you're here. We'll help you to get settled. We'll make sure that your child has what they need at school. So then while they're at school, parents can go about establishing their life. They can find out where to shop for their groceries, where they might go to worship, where the community center is, what programs they might be able to access. So if they know their children are safe and well cared for at school, then that takes a lot of pressure off during the day and they can focus on creating a life for themselves, feeling safe themselves, seeking out employment, potentially taking English classes.
An einer Stelle im Gespräch hat Aubrey Fletcher mir das auch mit folgenden Worten erklärt. Sie sagte, wir nennen das Maslow over Bloom, also die Maslow'sche Bedürfnispyramide nach physiologischen Bedürfnissen, nach Sicherheit, nach sozialen Bedürfnissen, nach Wertschätzung und Selbstverwirklichung, kommt vor der Bloom'schen Lernzieltaxonomie. Also die Bedürfnispyramide ist so organisiert, dass man davon ausgeht, dass die nächsthöhere Bedürfnisstufe immer erst erreicht werden kann, wenn die darunterliegenden fundamentalen menschlichen Bedürfnisse erfüllt sind. Und die Bloom'sche Lernzieltaxonomie ist vielleicht noch ein bisschen mehr im Gedächtnis. Da geht es um das Verstehen als unterste Stufe, das Anwenden können, das Analysieren, schließlich Evaluieren, bevor man selbst Neues erschaffen kann. Und für das Calgary Board of Education und vielleicht auch für das Bildungssystem in Alberta in Kanada ist es selbstverständlich, dass zuerst die menschlichen Grundbedürfnisse, das Bedürfnis nach Sicherheit erfüllt sein muss, vielleicht auch für die ganze Familie, bevor ein Kind in der Lage ist, zu lernen und selbst Dinge zu erschaffen.
So I would say, we call that wraparound services. So services not for the child, but for the family as well. Another thing I think is really important is when children are coming into a school, if we have other children that speak the language or potentially share the same religion, we will often partner those children and sometimes those families up so they feel immediately connected. There's a sense of community. The relief washes over their face as they realize someone in their class might speak the same language, or they might be able to share some religious aspect. Perhaps it's Ramadan and no one seems to understand. We have lots of students that celebrate Ramadan or observe Ramadan and celebrate Eid. So I think really connecting families through their children around the school experience. With refugee families, depending on how they've come to us, some refugee families have come not by way of war, potentially have been in another country for a couple of years where they felt safe. And have moved from that point. But a lot of times they come straight from the front line of war, and how we receive them, it really matters. It really matters to do that well.
Das war vorerst die letzte Folge zu meinem Austausch in Kanada, in Alberta. Und in der nächsten Folge geht's darum, was ich in Finnland erlebt habe und was eigentlich das finnische Schulsystem ausmacht. Sei das nächste Mal wieder dabei bei Schule, lass mal reden. Mein Name ist Kathi Aal und ich freue mich aufs nächste Mal. Bis dann!